The club back going up on a Tuesday. And today we're going to talk about the Eliminator contest on Underdog. Obviously, it's been a lot of best ball mania around here, but Underdog has a massive Eliminator contest in the lobby. Super cool structure where the advancement kicks in every single week and only a few teams will survive until the week 17 final. So we're going to talk a little strategy for that and then hop in an Eliminator draft. I'm Pete. This is the club. Let's do it. All right, it's been a hot minute. I believe last time we jammed was on BBM opening day a couple weeks ago. We got Andy 8052. We got Clay the Beer Maven here. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man. All good things on this end.
Yeah, I'm good. Can't complain. We have our first six-figure prize pool day on IKB today for any NFL fans. So been monitoring that and everything, but yeah, all been good.
For NFL fans or NBA fans?
Or NBA, I meant. Yeah. Right. Yes, we have a $10,000 to first $100,000 contest today, which
that's awesome.
Seems like it'll fill. Yeah, it's been good. We have been like really ramping up for these last bit of playoffs, and now we're focused a lot on trying to get out a best ball format and some baseball stuff and things like that for the summer as NBA is kind of winding down. But most of our focus then will be just like make sure we have a lot of cool stuff for NFL season.
How many people do you have working on that with you right now? Is it just you and your main other developer?
Yeah, it's just the two of us still.
Yeah.
And so keeping it nice and lean, which is always nice. That's the way I like to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you must be putting in some pretty long work hours these days.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but yeah, it's fun.
I feel like that's kind of how you've operated, right? Like when we first started doing stuff and you were, I mean, like you've gone through these phases of things you were working on where you're just like either working around the clock or you kind of like are then chilling. Not saying you're not doing things, but like when you're in like deep focus mode, it's kind of like all in or not for you.
Yeah. I think that's like, that's just how I function the best too. Like I'm pretty bad at doing like an 8-hour day and then just kind of clocking out. And so I kind of am very much in most things in life and all or nothing kind of person.
What about you, Clay? How's the Beer Collective stuff going? I know you guys voted on your first selection. What was that, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, we just closed out our last vote of the four-step process yesterday. And so now beer is officially in production and we're finalizing the label. We'll have the online store go live hopefully by Thursday and have like a nice purchase window open probably towards like the end of the month. And then beer will get shipped and be in people's hands by June. Is a target like mid-June probably latest. So we're looking right now. So good summer beer. We're making a Calamansi lime golden ale, which is pretty awesome. So it's a lime native to the Philippines, has kind of like a tart sweet flavor profile, a little bit more lemon mixed in with the lime component as well. And it's something that the lead brewer for Bronx has never used before in a beer and thought it would pair really well with the golden ale, which was voted on as a style. So we're stoked. Beers should be called Limelight. We had some really good names. I personally was really in favor of this one called Eastern Lime Zone, which I thought was just a fantastic name, lost by one vote. But, you know, we hold true to the numbers here. And so Limelight's the name of the beer. And yeah, it's exciting, man. So it's been a lot of fun. Learned a shit ton. Got a lot of breweries that are interested in doing stuff with us. And now it's just about locking down officially number two so we can roll that out hopefully by like June, July. And train moving.
Starting to feel like summer. We have Underdog Cardio Club that got announced yesterday. Now we got these fresh summer beers. We got the contests in the lobby. Summer is officially here. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about Eliminator. As ACR in the chat says here, it's so fun. Glad to see some content for it. You know, last year I was so heads down on trying to get all of my stream drafts done for Best Ball Mania that I couldn't devote any time to Eliminator. And this year I definitely plan to change that and excited to talk about it a little bit with you guys today. For people who aren't, you know, completely familiar with this format, it is almost exactly like it sounds in that each week there are eliminations. So anyone who has done, you know, Best Ball Mania is well aware of, hey, after week 14, 10 of the 12 teams are eliminated. And then in the next pod, 15 of the, you know, 16 teams or whatever is eliminated. With the Eliminator, each week the eliminator comes for a few teams. So I pulled up the advanced structure here. Week one, 10 of 12 advanced, then 8 of 10, 8 of 10, 7 of 10. We keep going down each week, losing 2 to 3 teams until we get to a week 17 final with 115 teams. And I know one thing that's really interesting this year that's different is how much bigger the eliminator final is. And with 115 teams, you start to wonder how you balance this idea of having like a robust team that can withstand the bye weeks, that can withstand injuries, but also be optimized to win in week 17. So I think this is a really fun riddle to try to crack this year. But have either of you got to do any eliminator drafts or think about this contest at all?
I haven't too much. I don't think I've actually done an eliminator yet, but I have been thinking about it a bit, especially when we were talking about doing it today. I think it's interesting because last year, if I remember correctly, there was way more variance week by week as far as how many teams got through.
Yeah.
There were a couple weeks that were like really brutal, I think, as far as rates. So I think it's interesting that flattened out a lot. I do think that changes the strategy pretty meaningfully as far as like, if you just really want to make sure you have teams advancing and having sweats and like getting there, you probably don't want to be thinking quite as much about floor outcomes as you did last year. And you can be a little bit more swing for the fences. And like you were saying, focus a little bit more on week 16, 17, like the last couple weeks that really matter. But this is also a format where knowing the schedule matters so much. Like not having it, I think these early drafts are really interesting where you could just end up drafting a team where you're kind of dead right out of the gate because both your quarterbacks have a bye the same week or something.
Yeah, there was the irony of it too, because I was thinking about that of like, man, should we wait until after the schedule to do our first eliminator draft? And I'm like, you know what, let's just pull off the Band-Aid. Let's get our feet wet. Let's wrap our head around the contest. But yes, I do think ideally you are drafting because avoiding zeros is so much more paramount. You know, when I was kind of looking through things, the other thing that jumped out to me was the elite onesies not being as important. You know, I really like prioritizing those in BBM, specifically the elite tight ends this year, just because what it means for them separating from your pod, it's like the opposite dynamic, right? In that in the BBM pods, you're needing to finish at the top of a pod. And in these, you're trying not to finish at the bottom of your pod. And so that ability for those onesies to separate, I think is not as powerful. And so I think that's probably going to push me to a lot more three quarterback, three tight end builds in this format. But then because of this week 17 structure, you can flip it back on its head and then say, but if everybody shows up to the finals with Luke Musgrave, Pat Freiermuth, and Noah Fant, and you got George Kittle dropping a 30 burger, that could be a pretty nice thing to have in the week 17 finals.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of not taking zeros, I think I'm kind of out on zero RB in this format in some respects, just because, I mean, obviously you have this safety net of you only have like, you know, 10, you know, 8, 8, 8, 7 through like the first 4 weeks to advance. But, you know, a lot of the zero RB thesis in some respects is that you're going to have some, you know, players come to form later in the year. And I just don't want to get stuck at the bottom of a pool. So I think I'm going to really prioritize like anchor QB, anchor running back. And then I'm less interested in like elite tight end per se, like trying to force that. And I still think like, you know, some of the data around like the three quarterback stuff is interesting in particular to this contest, but I'm still kind of keen on an elite QB. I think that might still be like where my headspace is at, just because I want to like that point differential over the course of the season just seems to be more and more extreme than it does even from like an elite tight end perspective, where you can make it up with like three late tight ends versus like last year I did a lot of late quarterbacks, and it's like all those late quarterbacks are not really cresting 20 points max a game versus like 35 bombs or 40 bombs going up by some of the elite quarterbacks. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
interesting wrinkles.
I think I would maybe push back on zero RB, not because I don't think you're like generally right, but in that you do want to be avoiding like the zeros at the end of the draft. So maybe like true extreme zero RB. But if you were to just load up on running backs and say round 6 through 13, where you know these guys are going to be on the field, like you are taking you know, David Montgomery and Najee and like loading up. I think you can do it, but I do agree with you. And I think that's why the late rounds are so interesting in this format, right? Because you can't take on that zero risk. Like we shouldn't in Best Ball Mania, but even more so here, what is the production that's most reliable in the late rounds? It kind of is quarterback. It's like Derek Carr is cheap as hell. We know he's going to play.
Unless he gets hurt, he's going to be the starter.
Right. Where some of those running backs, you don't know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I my challenge to that. Go ahead, Andy. Sorry.
I think the other thing with that too is like even like any rookie in general, not even just running backs, but like rookie wide receivers, rookie quarterbacks, there's a chance they don't start week one or they really, really struggle the first couple weeks of the season as they're like kind of getting their feet wet. And so I think that that's the other like interesting wrinkle too, is like I probably would be discrediting rookies a little bit more just because of how unknown their first couple weeks are.
I agree with that. I still get challenged with like the idea of like, you know, Derek Carr being QB one when you get to like week 10 and like 3 of 5 advance. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're just going to be, you know, hitting it with volume if you have enough quarterback ammo, but I don't have any, I like what you said regarding the running backs, Pete, because I think if they're starting caliber running backs with good touch opportunity and you can draft in those middle rounds and like the, some, in some respects, RB dead zone and other draft, you know, formats, like that still seems very viable here because you're going after those, you know, guaranteed points.
Well, and again, like I said, the week 17 finals make a really interesting wrinkle to this. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to Justin Herzig. I know he wrote a good article up on Establish the Run about eliminator specific content, and ETR has eliminator specific ranks too, which is nice. But I do think it's kind of fun because the contest in general would push everyone to the more kind of balanced builds, all of that stuff. But now you can start to do the week 17 is all that matters thing with the eliminator prize pool and kind of push you back to the line of thought. Can I sneak through this juggernaut team that has a lot of rookies that break out, that have some elite onesies who can separate? I think obviously it's a balancing act, and maybe if we're more willing to tilt that way in Best Ball Mania, we should be willing to tilt more on the safer side in Eliminator, but I think you do still want to sprinkle those guys in.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I am hopping us in a Eliminator draft right now. It looks like we got a few more spots left if you guys want to draft with us. This is my first Eliminator draft of the year. And I think the other fun thing about this is, and I'm curious, someone in the chat, let me know, are these the same ADPs from the other traditional contests? Are these its own ADPs? Does anyone know that?
Great question. I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Like on first glance, it looks like the same. You know, you still see Marvin Harrison at 13.4. I don't see any key differences yet, which to me is kind of the interesting thing of what could you exploit from an ADP standpoint, where the volume of this data is compiled from a format that is not the same as this, where there should be certain players getting pushed in either direction.
Yeah, it seems like it's the same looking at it.
And just to clarify what I'm saying, you can upload your own rankings. The ranking sets are different. Like I uploaded the ETR ranks, but I'm just saying the initial ADP looks the same to me.
Yeah.
All right. Andy's got the 1-2. I got the 1-5. Did you get in here, Clay?
Yeah, I'm all the way over. For a second, I got scared because I didn't see the message in time. And then I was like, what the hell am I on this screen? 111.
Here we go.
I'm hoping that this guy's not a CMC truther.
I do see a decent amount of CD Lamb go 101, but that's more I have as well. In Best Ball Manias. So we'll get to see if Clay puts his money where his mouth is and takes Josh Allen at the 1-2 turn.
Well, I mean, I wasn't talking that out of pocket. Lamar? Maybe. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, so Andy goes CeeDee Lamb.
GTO I think... Hurricane, yes, I am in a closet. Asking.
It's a great bit. That's a weekly question.
You will never not get questions about where you're recording. Yeah. Even though you've been recording from that same location for like 8 months now. I feel like Amon-Ra is a nice pick in this form. This is a funny one where the ETR ranks, and this is true for regular Best Ball Mania, they have Amon-Ra ahead of Jefferson. I feel like Amon-Ra is a slightly more condom pick than Jefferson, which seems great for the Eliminator.
Yeah, I'm with you
there.
It's
just quarterback related, right?
I struggle to not want to take Jefferson there. Like, I'm still taking Jefferson over Amon-Ra. Probably. I haven't thought about it for the Eliminator, but in general, I am. But I get why.
I've been condoming it. I've been taking Sun God. I don't know. I mean, I'm not so into JJ.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see too many key differences. Like, where do you guys think the first spot in the draft where the Eliminator difference would maybe take hold on a player? Like, if you look at the ETR ranks, it is the quarterbacks. They are below ADP on basically all of the elite quarterbacks.
Where do they have Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Let's see. They still have him pretty high. Right in line with his ADP.
Yeah, I mean, tight end for me is one that I think is reasonable to push down, because unless you get the, like, you know, kind of Travis Kelce season from him or somebody like a McBride where he just really separates points wise, like, I feel like you can make up tight end points a lot easier than other positions, especially when you just need to stay out of the bottom 2 to 5, depending on the round.
What's Laporta's rank?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, granted, they're low on Laporta, I think, anyways, but.
Yeah, their rank is 41, his ADP 28.
That's one that I think that makes sense to me. But he's also, I feel like all these sites are ranking Laporta way behind ADP anyways.
Yeah.
Let's see what his leg up have him at in the regular. They have him at 30.
Yeah. And the thing that's always interesting about that too is, you know, their ranks do incorporate and bake in some ADP versus like a true rank. I do agree with like Chief Smoke here. You know, one of the huge things getting pushed up in Best Ball Mania are these Wookiee wide receivers. We know how those picks are being made because of how important the back end production is down the stretch. Right. So I think you have to move some of those guys down. And even more so too, like, take a guy like Ricky Pearsall, who I don't mind taking in Best Ball Mania almost as like a contingent upside play, but taking like a contingent guy in this format that could just be a stone zero for 14 weeks doesn't feel great.
Yeah. The wide receiver 4 on a team is not super exciting in this.
Yeah. I mean, rookie tight ends especially scare me, just because that's been a trend where rarely do they catch on, or even if they catch on, like McBride, I mean, he's great, but, like, you know, it's all cost relevant.
I think double tapping running back in this is also pretty terrifying, maybe even more so than traditional BBM.
Yeah. Really,
do you think like extreme builds are almost more in play here? Like, if you went like true, like hyper fragile running back, like 2 running backs, maybe draft like a third or fourth later.
I'm gonna
let's say you take two running back in the first and second round, just really went high T mode. What if you just didn't draft another running back until maybe 17, 18? Too extreme.
Yeah. No, you just mean like better, just the traditional hyper fragile kind of strategy, right? Where you're
like 4 RB.
But more extreme versions of those hyper builds.
Speaking of extreme, Josh Allen at 21 here. I think hyperfragile can work in this format. You know, you're making the same bet. Like, these guys stay healthy. They're all top 6-7 backs, ideally. And then you're just going to get a shit ton of quantity at the other positions. It does get a little tricky if you like late round quarterback, late round tight end, to do 3 quarterbacks, 3 tight ends, and a grip of wide receivers. You do start to run out of extra spots.
Fair. Yeah, I don't know. It's intriguing. I guess it's just like, do you put more of a premium on filling out your starting lineup with premium position players versus like, you know, waiting to the later rounds to give you more of a robust chamber of running backs to take points from or other positions?
Yeah. I kind of, my thought is that you can do those strategies, but it's really some of those player archetypes, the rookies, and it's that mentality of avoiding dead roster spots, avoiding zeros has to be like ratcheted up way more where you're funneling through that. Like Devon Achane, some of these guys are like really interesting, right? Where you think about what gets you excited about Devon Achane, it's that he could drop 30 in any mm-hmm. week.
Whereas in this, you like kind of would almost prefer someone who drops 20 every week than the guy who drops 30 any week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just drafting off these. Because you also, I think another.
He's drafting the 2022 Dream Team.
That's exactly. I think that's the slogan for the Eliminator. Draft the teams that were good last year.
Yeah.
But another situation where. You know, I sometimes will push back when people are like, man, Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, they're all going too early. How are they all going to pay off? And it's like, that's not the way scoring works in best ball. And if you get the 30 burger from one of those guys in the playoff weeks, like they can absolutely pay that off with a few of those. The Eliminator's like the opposite, right? Like you get that 30 points. Congratulations. You know, Devon Achane's 50 points against the Broncos in week 4 last year that moved you on to week 5, and then those points don't matter anymore. It's not helping you advance out of the regular season. So those mega ceiling, but boom bust guys, I think have to get devalued.
Yeah, totally. I almost wonder if there's like an even bigger benefit to stacking in something like this, where you're spreading out your risk more, where there's some amount of risk. Like, for example, I have Nico and Stephon Diggs right now. And like, my goal is to also get Tank Dell and CJ Stroud, whether or not that happens, who knows. Mm. But like, if I'm just betting the Texans will be a good offense, one of those wide receivers should be one of my scorers every week. Like, it'd be pretty crazy if that wasn't the case. And I wonder if that's almost even more helpful in this format where you really need a few floor people every week to advance versus like needing a couple really big hits where the cumulative score matters so much more. And so it's like, I'm happy to get a 20 from Nico Collins and a 0 from Tank Dell because I don't need that cumulative score. It resets next week anyways.
That's an interesting thought experiment from the portfolio of like any individual one of those picks in this format doesn't work as well as it does in BBM. But if you have all of them in this format, does it then remitigate that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking is like, since you lose any cumulative thinking, like having that floor and just being like, I'm betting that every week, one of the three Houston wide receivers will be a really, really good player to have on your team.
Those are 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. Like
this is the other major consideration, as Grant says, is like, how much can you get away with on the bye week?
That's a really good point.
And we're going
to find out, hopefully.
And then in that case, I think I would be more inclined to do an onslaught like that cheaper, right? Like if you want to take the four Patriots wide receivers at the back end of your draft because you think they're going to be the breakout offense, then at least when their bye week comes up, you still have all of your top 100 picks, you know, contributing to your lineup that week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point that I wasn't thinking about.
My jammy, I addressed this at the top of the show. It is, this is probably the most suboptimal time to draft an Eliminator draft because there's no ADP values and right before the schedule comes out. So you're at risk of some of those zero bye week landmines. If you want to save your bullets for after tomorrow night around 10 p.m. Eastern, you have my stamp of EV approval.
I want to do it. A check in a few rounds from now on how the NBA playoff basketball season is treating you guys.
I will say
I'm getting crushed, I think.
I'm getting crushed too, but I believe I have a team named Milton that is still alive. That's the last I checked. Let's see, Andy. See, Tank Dell, I take in a million of my best ball mania drafts, so I'll let Tank fall to you.
Wow, amazing. He odds are he won't even make it.
Yeah, let's see. Who else do I want here? Man, this is like not a great territory for eliminator picks. I feel like Christian Kirk is the most eliminator ass player I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he is.
I love this is how you kind of like get it out of your system. You know, you're like, is that the new bit? It's like, I prefer Christian Kirk in the eliminator. Than in Best Ball Media.
Just way better value there. That's where I'm acquiring my equity in Christian Kirk.
The eliminator. Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Eliminator pick.
Yeah.
Hang on, Andy.
I believe this guy's just auto-drafting, so.
Oh, you did get your... You got your you got full
the
triple. On...
I think I'm going to get the Houston Mega Stack. Which means I can't wait to get eliminated whatever week. Whatever week Houston has a...
Houston's got a week 4 bye.
Yeah, I'm ruined. If this that was really, best ball, really if funny. This was a BVM 5 draft, I'd be ecstatic right now. I feel like this is hard to pull off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty dope. I like it. Oh, yeah, so this guy went double elite QB at the corner. Push to play in Spotify.
Yeah, he's got some interesting stuff going on his team.
I feel like this year with like the you know, the top prize of BBM, you know, not even a sniff in a full Karain, makes it a little easier to like focus on some other contests because you're not just like chasing the upside of upping the last year's winning prize pool number.
Yeah, I just grabbed Rashad White, another guy I have not been clicking in BBMs that much, who just feels like an eliminator ass pick if I've ever seen one. I'm just getting all these eliminator goodies.
Oh yeah, he's gonna score so many 10 point weeks. It's gonna be huge for you.
I love it. Just give me those 11.2 half point
a touchdown, PPR. 2 receptions, and 35 yards.
You know who feels like a disgusting pick?
Who?
Actually, I'll wait until they get picked because they're top of the close to the top of the board. There's a couple names, a couple of these receivers right here. Just, but I want people to take them, so I'm not going to shit on them too much. the old fragiles, I'll put it that way.
So Pete,
really
many...
disgusting an eliminator.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Amari and Keenan are both tougher.
Yeah,
for clicks for me. I mean, they're tough clicks for me in BBM as well.
And so. BBM for sure. They're I'm happy if I have zero of you. I don't see either one of those guys burying me.
How far in are you, Pete, in BBM drafts?
I think 21 or 22.
Oh wow. I'm like trying really hard to pace myself because last year I like came out the gate pretty hot.
Yeah.
And so I've only done a couple. I've only done like 3 or 4, I think. I told myself I'd actually wait until the schedule comes out.
The funny thing is I have not done a single Best Ball Mania draft that hasn't either been cardio or for content. But it just like when I do 3 or 4 on Monday stream and then we do one on Ship Chasing on my account, I've been doing a couple like challenge videos on the Deposit Kingdom channel and it just like I rip through them pretty quickly. I recorded a new challenge video where I put like 9 or 10 different structural kind of things. None of them like super gimmickly, like only draft from teams that have bird mascots, but stuff like go elite QB, blah, blah, blah. And I had one, I'll tease it here. So I spin the wheel twice. I got a robust RB, had to get 3 early running backs. And then I had to onslaught one team, had 5 players from a team. And that's the draft that's going to come out hopefully tomorrow on that channel. It was a tough exercise, I will say, but it was fun to do.
I missed the first part. You said this is like a pre-recorded draft you did, or on the is a Swolecast bit?
No, this is like for the Deposit Kingdom. I've been doing kind of like a draft challenge and then cutting it up, so it's not as long as a typical stream draft.
Yeah, I liked the pre-planned draft one. That was a good episode.
I'll have to peep that.
It's fun too. Like one of the benefits I enjoyed last year of drafting with a bunch of people is I do like different builds, take different players than I normally would. And so even doing this draft, it's like, yeah, I don't normally start my drafts with three running backs, but I think I can make a really good three running back. It ended up being a four running back team, but I'm like, I think I can do this in a good way. And I probably would never naturally do it without a prompt or someone else being like, hey, let's try this.
It's a great thought exercise. Like, you see how funky you get.
Yeah. So let's see, Clay. You,
I've abandoned everything I said at the top of the show. Yeah. I mean, like, I just, well, look, I mean, if you've learned anything from drafting, it's like you got to take what the board gives you and then choose your own adventure a little bit. So we fucking went tight end in the third round.
I like both of you. So Clay went Pacheco, Worthy, Marquise, and Andy with Diggs, Tank, Stroud, and Collins. We're like, the one thing you got to do, avoid those bye weeks. The schedule's not out. You guys were like, hold my fucking beer. I don't need the schedule. I'll step on these landmines right now.
Yeah. We're zagging ahead of it. No one's doing this shit post schedule. Like, no one. They're going to see all those bye weeks just laid up next to them. No one's triple stacking. But I don't even have Mahomes. So I'm just naked KC-ing three-way right now.
Chris Godwin is such an eliminator ass pick if I've ever seen one.
Oh man.
Bro. Kirk and Godwin.
And Rashad. 20 point
Kings.
About to draft Kyle Pitts in the eliminator.
Rashad got a little bit of feels
like a huge mistake.
Zero.
Yeah, so Keon Coleman, this is one of the things that is kind of interesting about this contest is, and you know, we've talked about this in so many different pieces of content when we talk about scrolling the F down, how anchored people are to ADP, and I think that's probably going to be one of the bigger edges in this contest is just how anchored we are to the Best Ball Mania ADP. And not realizing like, man, I get kind of sticker shock on Keon Coleman in Best Ball Mania, much less, you know, in this format. Not to mention on the same day they just signed MVS.
Yeah, it's going to be tough when Mac Hollins is just, you know, beating his on-field percentage by 80%.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, those seem like some nice eliminator picks. Andy.
Eliminator acid picks. Kyle
Pitt. Yeah, I figured I'd take a running back at some point. He's my first one off the board.
There you go. God, I cannot wait to take one of Najee Harris or Ramondre, some just eliminator ass picks.
Would you think about going Brian Thomas or Evan Engram if he had dropped to you and going for a bit of a Jag stack?
I think I would have considered Engram specifically because it kind of filled my tight end need. I want to leave some like positional flexibility. We'll do Ramondre because he's slightly ahead. You know, like if I go another wide receiver here, I'm getting to the point where I can probably only add one more at another point in the draft. So that's kind of the only other thing. I'm like, I want to keep at least two wide receiver selections in my back pocket for later.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, outside of quarterback and I guess just more so than running back, I feel better about some of those later round wide receivers.
Yeah, I agree with Crutches too. Like Engram, a guy who is just going to get his four catches a game. You feel pretty good about that. Whereas so many tight ends can be just stone zeros.
Eliminator ass pick.
Yeah, so this is my team here through seven. I did just get my second running back. Still no quarterbacks or tight ends. I got Rashad White and Ramondre Stevenson, five wide receivers, Amon-Ra, Devontae Adams, Devontae Smith, Christian Kirk, Chris Godwin. Andy has the onslaught with Houston along with Aaron Jones, CeeDee Lamb, and Kyle Pitts. And Clay has got a 1-4-1 build, the Pacheco, Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown, and Sam Laporta. Zeke.
It's not many linear ass
pick. Linear ass pick, yeah, right there.
That is. That is.
Zeke should be like a third round pick in this format. Exactly. Yeah, what let's guess how high ahead of ADP does the ETR ranks have Zeke Elliott. Wow, not ahead of ADP. Wow. They're right in line.
Locked in, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, this is a pretty gross area of the board.
Just keep taking Chiefs, Clay. See
what happens. Yeah, not the next one on the board. It's not an eliminator. That's a good
eliminator pick. Devin Singletary, I feel like.
That's an eliminator pick. For sure. Start calling him Devin the Eliminator Singletary.
Or like later on, Jacoby Myers feels very eliminatory.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, he put up some serious fantasy points last year. I don't want to knock Jacoby too much.
Honestly, you know what? You know what would be eliminator? If you could get if you get a big discount on Brock and you do Brock and Jacoby together, be like, all right, maybe Brock starts a little slow, Jacoby gets that early season, and then you get the late season Brock.
I like that.
Yeah, there are like some of the running backs. I've seen a little conversation about Deontay Foreman. I think he's another one, you know, in this format, uncertainty with Nick Chubb. I think you can kind of flip. You know, we think of some of these injured guys that we still kind of like potentially as late season, and then flipping who's the beneficiary of why they're gone. So like Deontay Foreman for Nick Chubb, Jordan Addison for TJ Hawkinson, Derrick Henry for Keaton Mitchell. Like those guys, they can still produce when those guys return, but also will probably get a volume boost at the top.
Yeah, I wonder if handcuffing in this is better or worse, because you could almost make the case that it's like, you know, you have Foreman for the first 5 weeks of the season and then Chubb for the rest. And like between the two of them, you get a scorer every single week versus in traditional best ball, since it's more cumulative, you can just kind of like bet on other guys. And
I think the only reason it's worse is just the bye week issue being more prevalent in this contest versus like,
Noah, have you never heard the phrase handcuffing before?
I was going to say, Noah, I mean, this is part of the best ball lexicon it has been for a couple of years here. I took Zach Moss, which, guys, I hate to say it, but that's an eliminator ass pick right there.
Yeah.
Chase Brown's the eliminator ass pick.
Oh, man. I want to take Jonathan Brooks here, but I'm going to go with the eliminator ass pick and take James Conner.
It's kind of like when, you know, football pundits call every single white wide receiver gritty. It's just like you call every dusty veteran an eliminator ass pick. Just the ultimate euphemism.
Adam Thielen, eliminator ass pick.
The rugby kid. I don't know if that's an eliminator ass pick. I mean, God, I can't wait to take one of Tyler Lockett or Joshua Palmer. Actually, I probably should. Start to get another position here, or Devin Singletary. There's so many eliminator ass picks available.
Oh man,
I think I'm gonna do Trevor Lawrence, get my first quarterback stacked up with Christian Kirk here. Seems prudent, although he has a deep ADP relative. Maybe I don't need to do it. Maybe I take a tight end. Is David Njoku in an eliminator ass pick, or is that too volatile?
I think he's too good. He's got too high of a ceiling.
Wow. You're right. I better just lock up Trevor Lawrence. 17 picks ahead of ADP.
Yeah, I mean, you could take Brock there for the same eliminator ass context of because you have Devonta, right?
You're right. I did. But man, Brock just feels like a non-eliminator ass pick for sure.
It just feels like a way to get eliminated pick.
Yeah. I could just feel my head on the guillotine as I was hovering over him. Yeah, Dalton Schultz. Guys, I'm so excited to take three late round tight ends. I was born for this. This team has Pat Freiermuth, Juwan Johnson, and Kate Otten written all over it. Gus Edwards, a pretty good eliminator ass pick, I think, if you need running back help.
Yeah.
I was laughing. I was listening to Levitan's market update pod earlier, and he called Trey Benson Cedric Benson on accident, but didn't notice and kept going. He's like, James Conner and Cedric Benson. I was like, wait, what? He's back.
Oh, dude, Mike Williams feels like a not an eliminator ass pick. What is beyond?
No. Jamison Williams at 88, who is already a BBM ass pick, ahead of ADP in this format. I don't know.
Gotta get your guys.
I mean, look, I considered him because I didn't think he was going to make it back around last turn because I was trying to build a little bit of a Lions stacky, but ADP is
Caleb Williams is slipping as much as he is, considering Jaden Daniels on pick 99.
Yeah, 99.
Too much volatility with Caleb.
Well, here's the spin zone on Jaden. You first would go, oh, that's a BBM-ass pick, too volatile, and then you spin zone it and say the risk is he gets injured, which will increase as the season goes along. Bank me up all those 100-yard rushing games early in the season. Eliminator-ass pick.
Yeah, and he's got the running floor.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
Humble legend building a super team.
Clay, you took Jared Goff, the man who just got paid, eliminator-ass pick. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm banking him. I'm taking my 300 yards a game to the bank. Ran that to the podium.
What did I see? Is he now like the second or third highest paid quarterback in the league?
It's something fucking absurd. It was like 170 million guaranteed or something. I'm sure they're a little
pull it up. I feel like Dallas Goedert is just a nice eliminator ass pick. I already have Devontae. He slips past ADP. Give me those 4.5 catches a game.
I will take Brock Bowers at some point if he gets to me. Feels like there's a certain number where you take him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went to the NFL news tab on Underdog, and like the second blurb is Chase Claypool, new competition in wide receiver room. Like, I don't think he's relevant enough to be in that conversation. Dolphins.
Is he still he's still in Miami? Okay, yeah. I didn't know if he was still there.
Wait, I thought Chase Claypool signed with the Bills.
Oh, maybe. I just bumped purely by what Underdog has him as.
Yeah, they still list him as the Dolphins. Oh, Bills. Yeah, Claypool had more competition. Yeah. Bills signed. Yeah, they just haven't updated the team. Okay, that's interesting.
No, the Bills were coping so hard after losing Gabe Davis that they said the only way we can fill his shoes is with a triumvirate of Keon Coleman, Chase Claypool.
Canadian Gabe Davis.
And MBS. Yeah, Brock Bowers at 119. Pretty BBM-ass pick, but I like it at that price here.
Andrew. Yeah, it felt like too low.
Eliminate the value off the board.
I was considering going for Dalton Schultz and just getting a little bit ridiculous, but that felt like too much to have the four pass catchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goff signed a four-year, $212 million extension with $170 million guaranteed, making him the highest paid line in franchise history.
I also considered potentially going Justin Herbert and Josh Palmer there for a little
That's definitely
back-to-back. Very eliminatory.
God, this feels so good. I am taking Zeke Elliott four picks ahead of ADP, an eliminator ass pick. Let's go.
Oh man.
I like Christian's thought in the chat here. Does it make sense to fill out a solid squad of eliminator ass picks and click a bunch of BBM ass picks after a certain point? In theory, you hit on your safe picks and then still get the upside late. I do think that is you backweight your risk, ideally, which is in general kind of what you're doing, but I think even more so in this.
Yeah, format. Like I think definitely to me, guys like Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. and those guys, I will probably end up taking a little bit less than the field in something like this, just because realistically, what's the difference between him and Drake London, who are at like the same ADP as far as like potential upside on their season? In London, you at least have a little bit more of an like idea of what his role in the offense will be, things like that. But at the same time, those guys are so good that maybe it just doesn't matter and I'm overthinking it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Crutches makes a decent counter. You could also front weight the risk and take singles instead of home runs in the late rounds. This kind of goes back to the reverse engineering your draft and saying like, what type of profiles do you like late? I feel like some of the late profiles are maybe more volatile, more risky, which leads me to drafting them more in BBM. So I think I'd be more inclined to front or backload my risk in this. But if you have archetypes you like, say the Deonte Foreman types, DeMario Douglas, probably another good one, a boring eliminator ass pick that you could get cheap. I think as long as you know where those pockets and players are, you can make it work in either direction.
Yeah, I just got super cucked on a great eliminator ass pick in Brandon Cooks.
Oh yeah, because you have Dak, more, right?
More of like Brandon Cooks this draft, you know.
Tough scene.
Yeah, I do have Dak. Naked Dak right now. We're lit. That's very eliminator. Naked yeah. quarterback and need to excel.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten that you look like Andrew Schultz, Andy?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know what he looks like. So, no.
That's pretty funny.
He's just on the Tom Brady roast.
Which is great.
I have never gotten that I look like him before. I don't think that I do.
I think it's literally just the mustache. I don't know if there's anything else.
Yeah, we have a very different facial structure.
It's just the mustache, which is, yeah. What did you guys watch the roast?
I look like the most, who's an actor, is from Downton Abbey. He was like the butler in that show or something.
So have we done this before? Who's the...
Probably.
I don't remember ever looking it up, though. Mr. Carson?
No, not the butler. I don't remember the guy's... The...
Someone tell us which Downton Abbey character
Thomas
like.
Morrow, I think.
I usually pull up the cast on IMDb and just do guessing games.
Tom Branson is the guy's. This is like literally the only actor I've ever had random people be like, you look like this guy. But this was also a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't really see it, but I'll pull it up here after I pick. Let's see here. What eliminator?
Thielen is calling your name.
God, that is a real eliminator. His ADP, he's like 30 picks ahead of ADP of this. That's disgusting. No, I want Pat Freiermuth. I think Freiermuth is an eliminator ass pick. So many vacated targets there without Deontay Johnson. Russell Wilson feeding him. Need that second tight end. All right, this is Tom Branson. Tell us if I don't see it, Andy. I'm not saying you're the one who said this. I'm just saying
I see it. I can see it. That photo in particular, I can see it.
Andy,
at this point in my life, I was also
photo.
Clean shaven, and so I think that also
That's
helps.
True.
It's yeah. like one of those things where it's like if somebody did like an AI generative of like Andy's face in like that setting of like the movie, and it's like kind of looks like him enough that you're like, wait a second, like, do I know that person? And then it's like, oh, wait, but it doesn't look just like him.
Using my free chat to say Andy doesn't look British at all. Great use.
That's
a eliminator ass chat.
Me, actually, so I'll take that. Thank you.
It's an eliminator ass celebrity comp for you, Andy. That's what I'll say.
What do the ETR ranks say here?
Lance Armstrong.
Running back goes. I'm curious whether they like Jalen Wright or Marshawn Lloydmore or someone else.
Lance Armstrong.
Look at all these fun, sexy players at the top of my ADP queue that I'm not going to be allowed to take because they're not eliminator ass picks.
Jalen Wright? Nope.
I can't believe you took Goff from me, man. Stacking that up with Amon-Ra.
I mean, I have Laporta, so don't sue me. Like,
I'm not suing you, but I am pretty peeved.
Hey, eliminator ass pick.
I think
eliminated
I take
from your roster.
I think I take Baker Mayfield here. I have Godwin, Rashad. I think that's right. And it sets up the Kate Otten later, which this team has Kate Otten written all over it. Fucking eliminator ass tight end. Actually, he's not. Like, he's like a zero or had 30 points in that one game. I take it back.
I'm going to have to seek out some eliminator ass wide receivers.
Wow, here. Clay, you took, I was talking about Jerome Ford and you took about 131. That's an eliminator. That's a go get your guy. I mean, holy cow, he has a higher high ADP. I thought that was
great eliminator pick.
Cheaper than that. You know, sorry, I was thinking Deonta Foreman. I was thinking of Deonta.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it flopped. The thesis was there, but you just had to read between the tea leaves on the
I thought you had taken Deonta Foreman 70 picks ahead of ADP. That's what I thought.
No. Not that out of pocket.
What do you think about this comp, Clay? You look like Zach Bryan.
That's funny. I haven't gotten that one before, but I have a friend who look has so much similar to. He gets it a lot, but he also has like the exact haircut and everything, and like mustache vibe. And
I kind of like this. Look at this. The feeling when you get Jerome Ford in your draft.
It's pretty good. We gotta restring the guitar. I'm not taking an eliminator ass pick here, because again. Got mine taken, but it's all right.
I need to get another quarterback. I feel like quarterbacks are going fast here.
Yeah. Because you're probably going to see more three quarterback builds, right? Whereas in a BBM, you'll have like four or five teams that'll just go two.
Yeah, I was trying to get Rodgers there. Admittedly, felt like a great eliminator ass pick with Garrett Wilson stacked up. Pete, what'd you read on the Chargers backfield? I'm kind of drinking the J.K. Dobbins juice, man. I just kind of like that he just keeps coming out and saying, like, I'm still the fucking best. Like, both my legs are broken, but I'm going to run for 2,000 fucking yards.
I mean, cost adjusted, I do still like, I think, Vidal the most. If he gets steamed way up, it'll probably tilt to Gus. But I think, yeah, I mean, if we continue to get really good J.K. Dobbins news, but it's also like we've gotten that basically every single year as well. I think Vidal can earn a role just by performance, whereas I think Dobbins is going to need an injury to one of those two to get on the field.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, quarterbacks are flying here. God, I can't wait to set up the Adam Thielen, Bryce Young stack. Dude, you guys are going to let me get the most eliminator ass pick ever at ADP. Well, you want to talk about ADP value? No, we're talking about rank value. Pick 138. Come on home. I get all of my exposure to Zach Moss, Zeke Elliott, Adam Thielen, and Rashad White in the eliminator.
Oh, man.
Oh, did Tyler just call himself my dad in the fucking chat?
Man. Zach Bryan and Emo's son.
Zach Bryan's dad looks pretty chill, though. I've seen some videos of him at his concerts just raging. Wait, so did you guys watch the Brady roast? You did? And did you watch it?
I have not yet. No, I will at some point, but I haven't watched it yet.
It was definitely better than I anticipated it being. I missed out on it live, which would have been fun because I feel like it was definitely a great Twitter moment. It was good. Do you have a favorite comic?
Roast?
Roaster.
I liked. I thought the just like objectively best set was, people will push back because they like Nikki Glaser. I thought hers was good, but Tony Hinchcliffe's was the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
He packed like the pacing of Nikki Glaser's set was great. But man, like Hinchcliffe really packed a punch his.
Yeah. He had some moments for sure. The all hell no was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was a really good joke.
I thought Kevin Hart did a great job hosting too, for him kind of being, you know, somewhat played out at this point, or kind of reached his like max, you know, public persona in some ways. Like, I thought he did a great job hosting and calling back to stuff and carrying it on.
Yeah, the thing, like, I think maybe sometimes people don't realize is how for a show like that, that's both live, you know, and streamed, and is that long, you really need a high energy host, like to the point where it feels like it's too much, or it's over the top, or it's overbearing. It's like you actually need that, or the energy just gets sucked out of the room. And every time the next comic comes up, it's like they have to start from scratch. Kevin Hart like refused to let the energy levels drop in that room.
Yeah,
it can feel grating at times, but I really think you need it to pull that off.
I agree. And it wasn't like he was, it was like pretty effortless for him too, the way he was like going about. I thought it was just like really well done. It was funny, like the, you know, the parts that were obviously like scripted, like the little moments with like the toast and the you know, shot drinks and stuff.
15th round, Bo Nix off the board.
There you go.
All right, here's a very eliminator ass pick for you. We back with this one. OBJ.
Oh, I mean, I can't even tell if that's eliminator ass or not. I'm tilting that I got sniped on Bryce Young. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, everyone who I'm drafting hoping to get a little bit of a late round stack, I'm losing. So
don't worry, buddy. You super stack that bitch.
Wow.
Take another Houston guy. Take Damian Pierce. Just for the vibes.
What about Gardner Minshew? Do we think he's actually gonna start the whole season?
I mean,
honestly. Is Gardner Minshew going to start the whole season? I feel like that's crazy. ETR doesn't even have him ranked.
I feel like he had, like, I don't think Aiden O'Connell's any good.
No.
If they had drafted somebody, like, yeah, but yeah, I'm kind of with, can see the hairs there. He's a great eliminator ass pick.
I think I'll wait. I'll either take a Pittsburgh guy or Minshew. I'm at peace with it. This is a funny, like, ETR has a super bullish rank on Malachi Corley. I think it's because Anthony Amico, who does their dynasty stuff, is super high on him, and it's flooding into their best ball ranks. But man, he does not feel like an eliminator ass pick. I'm glad he went. No. You know who does feel like an eliminator ass pick? Wandell Robinson. Give me those 3.5 catches a game.
Yeah, like what, four screens a game that are basically runs.
Because yeah,
Devin
exactly.
Singletary is dust and they need to simulate a running game.
You know, now I look at it, there are some old names on new teams batting around here in the wide receiver rankings that are, man, eliminator ass picks. Tyler Board until in Tennessee. Zay Jones on the Cardinals.
What do you think? I have two more picks. And I wish I had three, because I would love to get to three quarterbacks, three tight ends, and six running backs. What do you think I axe here? A third quarterback, a sixth running back, or a third tight end? I need your help. I think I'm for sure going three quarterbacks. Yeah. All right. Chat's on board. Rashad White, Ramondre Stevenson, Zach Moss, Zeke, Eliminator Ass, Elliott, Antonio Gibson. I think I can rock with that.
I think so.
Dude, who's the Cowboys' like third receiver going to be? Is it going to be Jalen Tolbert?
Their third receiver is CeeDee Lamb, actually. And he's also their second receiver, and he's their first
and
receiver.
First. Yeah,
that's and then Brandon Cooks is their fourth receiver.
Brandon Cooks, but yeah, he's not...
I like Tucker Kraft as a third eliminator ass tight end.
I feel like he's one of those guys who has, like, there's a lot of people whose opinions I respect who are like, I really like Tucker Kraft as a late round best ball flyer. Yeah. Whether they like Tim Moore as a recruit coming out into the draft, things like that. Like, he's someone who's interesting to me.
I agree. And I think there are scenarios where it's like a pretty gross 50-50 committee where they kind of cannibalize each other. But in those scenarios where Tucker Kraft beats out Musgrave and the market's just too confident in Musgrave, then it's like a pretty big smash. But at worst, like, you're hoping for kind of like, I could see scenarios where it's kind of like a Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid rookie year type thing. And maybe Kraft is the Kincaid, more the underneath kind of possession guy that starts to get utilized a little bit more. Like, I could see that.
Yeah.
Golly,
I could see it too. I just also don't know enough about Kraft to like have a take really. So I just kind of listened.
The thing that was fun about Musgrave though was like they were using him down the seam. Like there were some more chances for big plays with him, it seemed like, whereas Kraft seemed to be way more underneath stuff, more of a receptions merchant. But it's hard to know how much of that is going to carry over when they're both fully healthy.
Yeah, Kraft's a little bit hard for me with just like, I like Musgrave a lot. It's like, yeah.
I think I want to have both this year, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kraft at cost feels better, right? Like, if you're thinking that it's viable, like, if you're playing the bullish outcomes on each, then.
Wow. Look at this strategy from kicks to catch. Red badge.
Kind of like it.
One quarterback. Clay, you like one tight end, Dalton Schultz?
I kid. It's too aggressive. And even one quarterback, you're like fucked it. When that. I mean, unless the Eagles just don't have a bye week, like it just doesn't work. So,
well, let's see. I mean, you got to go one more tight end here at least. You got to. You're taking a zero. Oh my god, I don't think. I think this is an eliminated ass team.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm into this. Maybe he thought it was weekly winners.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Like, I think that's the most reasonable explanation is, oh shit, I thought this was a weekly winners draft.
Weekly winners might be the most fun to draft, like format wise. I think with upside, like this one is like, it's too much floor. It doesn't compute. My GPP brain does not compute eliminator ass picks.
Hey, compute this, Clay. Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and Dallas Goedert, Pat Freiermuth, Tucker Kraft.
It's just,
that's an eliminator. That is ass
disgusting.
All right. Well, I was hoping that I would get Gardner Minshew as my.
It's so ugly. It's beautiful.
Fields, and so I am going to have two QBs with my second quarterback being Drake May, which is truly terrifying.
Wow, that's not very.
I'm going to need a very late in the season bye for the Houston Texans to let Drake even see the field.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, your worst case scenario is a week 4 Houston Texans bye. that is the
playing like the Jets or something, or
right. They haven't they're playing a great defense. That's the week that they're going to let, you know, Jacoby Brissett out there again to take all the beatings and then put Drake in.
All right, quick. I got to go here in a second, but let's quickly recap these. I drafted the most eliminator ass team of all time. 3-5-7-3 build. Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew. I can't even take myself seriously with this team. Running backs: Rashad White, Ramondre Stevenson, Zach Moss, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Gibson. Is that what this contest exists for? Just doing bits. Wide receivers: Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Devontae Smith, Christian Kirk, Chris Godwin, Adam fucking Thielen, and Wandell Robinson. Tight ends: Dallas Goedert, Pat Freiermuth, Tucker Kraft. Hang it in the fucking eliminator.
Oh my god. Room. Pete, a great bit for you is just to tweet out like screenshots of your team and be like, guess what format?
or actually just post it and say, just drafted this sick team, have everyone pile on, and then just come in with a quote retweet dunks in the eliminator.
Eliminator.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, what did you do here?
Yeah, I mean, I went with the Houston mega stack. So I have CJ Stroud and Drake May. Would have loved a third quarterback, but I wasn't about to draft Aiden O'Connell. He was going to be the next man up there, I think. And then, yeah, so pretty standard 2-6-8-2 with Aaron Jones, James Conner, Tajay Spears, Marshawn Lloyd, Kendra Miller, and Khalil Herbert. I feel pretty good about my running back room. And then CeeDee, Nico, Diggs, Tank Dell, again for the Houston mega stack. Cortland Sutton, Jahan Dotson, Jalen Polk, and DJ Chark is a very – Chark feels like an eliminator-ass last-round pick to me. And then Kyle Pitts and Brock Bowers at tight end. Two tight ends there feels tough, but – I did spend a decent amount of draft capital on both of them. So hopefully by the time Brett Bowers kind of turns it on, Kyle Pitts is carried me to.
Is a nice price for sure. Yeah. Clay, recap your team here.
Yeah. Went Naked Dak, Jared Goff, AKA Mr. Moneybags, Isaiah Pacheco, Tony Pollard, Trey Benson, Jerome Ford, Rico Dowdle, for the running back room. Isaiah Anker, and then we got Garrett Wilson, Drake London, double tap KC with Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown. We got Ricky Pearsall, Javon Baker, two opposite of Eliminator ass picks. OBJ back on brand, Pop Douglas, and then tight end room. We got Laporta, Isaiah Likely, and Donald Parham Jr. to play the hits on some popping off late season tight end.
I gotta say, Clay, some non Eliminator ass picks in here. Donald,
I mean, y'all were taking them all, so how to zig and zag again, you know, like there's only so many Eliminator ass picks on the board.
Yes, this was fun for getting the feet wet, and it'll be even more fun to see how dusted these teams are when we all like piled up bye weeks from two teams.
See you in week four.
But it did feel good to get in these streets, and I'll definitely be digging in more once the schedule drops. Anything else for you, Andy, before we get out of here?
No, not too much for me. Like I said at the start of the show, if you're an NBA guy, check out IKB today. I think we have one of the larger contests on any site. DraftKings has a couple bigger ones, but $100,000 in prize contest. Otherwise, we should do one of these again next week once we have a schedule and see how different our draft style is.
It'd be fun. Clay, what about you?
Yeah, if anyone's interested in a good summer beer, keep an eye out for the order page going live later this week for what I think will be a delicious golden ale. Bronx is not missing their beer, so I'm very confident it's going to be a good brew to enjoy. So keep an eye on my Twitter or check Collective Beer Project out online.
Awesome. Yep. I, like I said, keep an eye out for a new video on the Deposit Kingdom channel tomorrow. We'll have Swolecast at 1, off and on the clock with the Badge Bros at 2. Schedule comes out Wednesday night. Thursday ship chasing, we'll definitely be talking schedule stuff, and then I'll go in the lab working on a schedule related video for the Deposit Kingdom YouTube channel as well. Also, just as a reminder, if some of you guys are new to Underdog for some reason, they are running a new deposit promo. Now it was a $100 deposit match for a while. It's now a 50% deposit match, but up to 250 in bonus cash. So if you deposit 500, you can get 250 in your account. So a 750 total balance there for putting in $500. You can use promo code Pete to get that on Underdog. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your week, enjoy your drafts, and we'll soon be able to correlate and dodge these bye weeks in short time. So thank you again to Andy, Clay in the chat today. And thank you for all of these just loving comps. Lance Armstrong, Zach Bryan, Arthur Smith, all three of us are going to go drink a smoothie and go to the gym after these. We'll see you guys next time on The Club.